Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. And we also are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. We're live out here at the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, day two of Predators Training Camp. Our Preds Training Camp coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is presented by the new Cumberland Development. Titans hitting the road, taking on the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. And this just in from Jim Wyatt. Peter Skoronski is the only player ruled out for the Titans on Sunday. So Peter Skoronski recovering from the appendectomy that kept him out against the Chargers last week. Why is that big? Because Imani Hooker has been cleared from concussion protocol. That also just came out from Jim Wyatt. So he is not out for the game on Sunday. Imani Hooker will be available. My question is, what's the pitch count? Is there a pitch count? What does it look like for Imani Hooker coming back off of concussion protocol with limited practice?
That's a question. And also with Christian Fulton, let's say that would be optimistic. Mm-hmm. This is one where I do not know what those conversations are like. On one hand, you could say if you're cleared from the protocol, you're cleared from the protocol. You're ready to play. If you feel good and you've passed all the tests, then go play. For example, we're here at Predators training camp. Mm-hmm. I know that Roman Josi was talking pretty extensively about concussions yesterday. And he said, you get to a point where you feel, and unfortunately for him, he's had more than one over his long career. He says, there just is a day where you know you're ready. Mm-hmm. And then when those players come back in, usually they're back in. Yeah. You know, they're playing. Maybe that's the attitude for Hooker. I don't know. Fulton is one I would watch because of the hamstring. We know that can be re-aggravated very easily.
Yeah, don't be surprised if you see Fulton in and out of the game because of that hamstring issue. And it's unfortunate.
It is.
You know, because the hamstring is a tricky thing. You can be feeling great during practice, but then you get in the game and the level goes up a little bit. And you end up straining it again or pulling it again. So we need to watch Fulton closely this game. I don't think there's this huge drop-off when McCrary comes in the game. McCrary did a great job last week at being that starting corner. So I don't think there's this tremendous drop-off. But you would like to have Fulton on the field. You would like to have your best players on the field. Now, Imani Hooker is different, and I'm not saying anything that I have not said in years prior. When it comes to concussions, if you've been deemed to have a concussion in a game, it should be at least 2 weeks out. It should be. I mean, because what happens is now, I'm okay through the week. Why? I'm not hitting anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm just running around.
Yeah.
And I can pass the test, you know, that they're going to ask me, remember this, do this. This way, light sensitivity is
your eye sensitive,
you know, and you end up passing them all, which, okay, you passed them and you've been cleared to play. But the minute I hit somebody, now I could put myself right back in that same situation, and now I'm out longer than I was previously out. So the concussion thing, to me, is tricky. I've always thought that there should be at least a 2-week mandate on concussions, you know, but hey, in this situation, if he feels he can play, then, you know, if he's cleared, they're thinking, why hold him back?
I guess
and
they
you
are.
Can't put him on a pitch. You can't put him on a pitch count. You just got to let him go play.
I guess they would be at 2 weeks-ish.
Huh?
I guess they would be around
it,
2 weeks.
It would be 2 weeks, 2 weeks from Sunday. The time he got the
– yeah.
But
well,
you're
no,
saying
two weeks
games.
Of no – two games.
Games.
Two,
okay.
Two games.
So really
yeah,
3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think – I am going to hope that because of – all of the attention and awareness of concussions that we didn't even have 5-10 years ago.
Exactly.
Right? That I'm hoping the protocols are more streamlined, that we learn more, the helmet, you know, all of these things to where a player feels comfortable that if you're not in the protocol, then you're okay. That's hard, but you know this, Derek, if you're out there and you're worried and you're playing, you're like, oh, I don't know if I can hit because I'm worried I'm going to get another one. That's not a good mental place to be.
It's not, but I guarantee he gets dinged again.
Well, he's had all kinds of trouble with numerous amounts of injuries just staying on the
field. But I'm saying, like, when he hits somebody again this Sunday, I guarantee you.
You're more susceptible.
He's more susceptible of reoccurring the same injury, which was a concussion. It's just, I'm just, because I've seen a lot of these players after they're done. And yeah, it's all funny and giggles, and yeah, put him back on the field, he's cleared. But after they're done playing, then now you start seeing all these effects. That's why, I mean, honestly, that's why these guys are retiring a lot earlier. They're making more money. And they're like, listen, I don't want to have to deal with when I turn 50, 55, I can't remember things because I was cleared and I decided to play and then end up getting another concussion. I'm just very sensitive when it comes to that. Everybody may not be like me. Everybody may be, hey, listen, if he's clear, put him out there or put her out there. Me, I'm like, no. Two games, mandatory. You had a concussion, especially if we had to take you off the field, take your helmet. Now, I don't know when his concussion occurred during the game. I can't recall. But
I think he was
out a majority of the fourth quarter, if not the entirety of the fourth quarter.
Yes, yeah, because I don't know exactly when it happened, what the play was.
And I don't think it was something, at least I don't remember it being anything that they said on the broadcast of Amani Hooker's taken out for concussion protocol.
Exactly.
It was nothing that was really highlighted.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So that's why it's
happened.
Like, what was the severity of the concussion? You know, did you, you know, because nowadays what they're doing is even if you mentally feel, oh, I can go out there, I'm fine, I'm good, they're still going to hold you out and say it was because of concussion protocol. Now, you may have just, you know, got dinged a little bit. It wasn't as, you know, egregious as one may think a concussion should be, get knocked out and have him be carried off. So it could have been just one of those mild things where we're going to hold him out. We're going to hold him out for a game. And now he's cleared to play. It could be that, or it could be, you know, the other end of the spectrum where, you know, he couldn't remember much of anything. We held him out of a game. He passed the protocol. But to me, the real protocol is game. And when he hits somebody a few times, where is he at now?
I think at that point, we don't know. And
yeah.
You just have to put trust into the Titans doctors that they're doing what they need to do and make sure that he's taken care of. Because, I mean, the attention to concussions that's being paid these days is better than it ever has been in the history of sports. I think the good thing, though, is that's much needed depth and experience in the secondary that they got beat up a little bit last week against the Chargers. And I don't know how much the Browns plan on throwing the football. I don't know how Deshaun Watson can get the ball downfield, but at least in the secondary, you're getting Amani Hooker back and you're getting Christian Fulton back.
And I do think it strengthens everything that they got through it last week against a very good passing attack that has, you know, some beasts out there that are tough to cover. Maybe that emboldens them a little bit. I love having those two guys back. And something that dawns on me, Derek, was you did your breakdown yesterday of the Browns, and you said they like to run a lot of three wides in just regular sets. So you need more DBs.
Yeah, you need to have guys out there because they line up.
And Njoku, almost, I think, is hurt too. Has he been back in there?
Greg Newsome is out on Sunday in the Browns secondary. I don't know about Njoku.
He's been on the injured list. I don't know what his status is, but either way, three wide.
Either way, three wides. You know, that's their staple. It seems like they come out in three wides. You know, they can be in four wides. They can, you know, detach that tight end, and you know, make him sort of this hybrid wide receiver because Njoku has that type of ability.
He's got that. Yep.
Yeah, to get down the field and break tackles. So. The Titans got to be ready. So they need all hands on deck. You know, they need Fulton out there. They need Amani Hooker out there. You know, for anything but depth, because if they don't have those two guys out there, man, with a team that loves to go three and four wides, it put a lot of pressure on your secondary.
Another thing that was a little bit of relief today, again, Peter Skronsky, this put out by Jim Wyatt. Peter Skronsky is the only Titan ruled out on Sunday. Derrick Henry was on the Derrick list. The injury report yesterday was out of practice for a toe or was limited with a toe. And that concerned me because I didn't know if that was a hangnail, if that was a quote-unquote toe, like more like a rest day, or if that was like turf toe. So it could have been anything. You know, there was a wide spectrum.
It.
But he was out in the practice field today, and he's playing on Sunday.
But still monitor it. When you start talking about toes and
especially
feet,
in this market,
yeah.
When you talk about running backs,
yes.
it all harkens back.
Yeah, just
– new turf.
Just keep watching it. Just you know, we can't just say, okay, he's playing, whatever it was, it's done. You know, obviously it hurt him bad enough. It was bothering him bad enough that he couldn't practice on one day. But, again, they'll shoot him up. He'll be out there.
He'll be okay. 615-737-1025. We'll get into your thoughts. But coming up next, there are two related things that Mike Vrabel has been talking a lot, has been really pushing, and we haven't seen from the Titans through 2 weeks. But it might be even more important this week than it has been maybe against the Saints or the Chargers. And hint, I think the Steelers showed us that on Monday night. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. May say this week's Nashville's best deal is Campione's Taste of Chicago, located at 401 Long Hollow Pike in Goodlettsville. Campione's is a family-owned, award-winning restaurant for Sumner County's best Italian dining and lunch spot. So try one of their Chicago-style hot dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, lasagna, homemade pasta, and more. To get a half off a $20 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Also, I mean, teammates brought in Chick-fil-A. It's a Friday. It's a good day. So I want to give something away. So be caller 3 right now, and you will win a pair of VIP tickets to the Nashville Oktoberfest on Sunday, October 8th in Germantown. The VIP area includes 1 liter beer stein, a huge all-you-can-eat buffet, private seating, and luxury bathrooms with air conditioning. So good luck with that. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Running plays than there are on passing plays, and turnovers at this point of the year are critical. The last game the Patriots lost was January 20th, 2013 in the playoffs at home. And they had 3 turnovers and the Ravens had 0. So, you know, it's a telling stat.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel kind of harping on something that we hear him talk about a lot. Now, when he talks about offensively, it's don't turn the ball over. Unfortunately, we have learned several times that turning the ball over doesn't lead to very many good things. But one thing that Mike Vrabel always harps on as well is forcing turnovers. Forcing turnovers and capitalizing off of those turnovers. And there's one thing that we learned, or at least I learned, about the Browns last week, and it was from the Steelers, how the Steelers had 2 defensive touchdowns, turned 2 Browns turnovers into 14 points. That very well could be the key to beating the Cleveland Browns, is forcing turnovers. The Browns have turned the ball over 6 times. 6 times in 2 games. They're sloppy with the football. So if you can take care of the football, if Ryan Tannehill can take care of the football, you don't fumble the football and capitalize off of Browns turnovers, the Steelers have showed us. That's how you can beat the Browns.
I mean, it's what's keeping them from being 2-0 this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't, you know, especially games like this where we believe or assume it to be a dogfight, you know, fighting in a phone booth, so to speak. You can't do anything that's going to give the other team an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
If they beat you, it's because of, you know, they played, you know, they executed a little bit better than you. But you don't want to give them the game by turning the ball over, you know, having costly penalties, allowing them to extend drives. That's what you can't do. So for the Titans, they didn't have any turnovers last week, which is a plus. They got to find a way to get some now. They got to find a way to get turnovers. Cleveland has turned the ball over, and a lot of it has come at the hands of the quarterback. Now, there was two last week that really wasn't his fault. The first one wasn't his fault. The guy should have caught the pass. He didn't catch it, bounced off his hands. And I think what happened was those two receivers ran the wrong – one, somebody on the out – I think the outside guy ran the wrong route. Because what you had was you had a quick out and you had a hitch. Typically, you don't run a quick out and a hitch on the same side because you have essentially both guys right there. Two guys can cover one. I think what happened on that play, because if you look at the other side of the field, it was the same concept, but the outside guy ran a outside release go to clear out that corner. That particular play, the inside guy ran an out like he was supposed to. The outside guy ran a hitch, corner sitting right there. But still, he has to catch that ball. It was a catchable ball. I don't blame that on Deshaun Watson. The fumble, I don't blame on him. Number 71, Conklin's backup just whiffed on a play. Mm-hmm. He did not see it coming, and he hit the ball out of his hands. They scooped and scored, touchdown. So I know Cleveland is looking at it and saying, listen, if we just clean up this, we won't have the turnovers. Pittsburgh doesn't win the game because that's 14 points off a turnover.
That's the game.
That's the game right there. So the Titans got to find a way to get turnovers. And Cleveland, I know they're talking, hey, listen, let's just do the you know, let's orchestrate or run our offense the way it needs to be ran. Everybody do their job. Everybody be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Don't bust the route and end up getting an interception. So, to me, this game is going to come down to, like you said, turnovers. Who's going to win the turnover battle? And who's going to win the third down battle?
And it's capitalizing off of those turnovers.
Exactly.
Like, the Titans intercepted Derek Carr in week one and weren't able to get any points out of it. You know, of course, taking offensive opportunities away from your opponent is valuable in and of itself. But if you're not able to put points on the board when there are opportunities handed to you on a silver platter, it's going to get really difficult to win a game that already, I believe, is going to be pretty difficult. We'll make our official predictions for this game later on in the show. I think the Titans absolutely have an opportunity to win this football game. But just make the Browns make mistakes. Don't make your own.
And that also reminds me of another huge stat that is, this is Captain Obvious speaking here, but the red zone is going to be huge, right?
Yeah.
You don't feel like you're going to be able to drive the field on paper here, looking at these offenses against the defenses, right? Mm-hmm. The defenses are better on paper here. So when you do get into that red zone, boy, if you can dial up a couple of good plays and find a way to get sevens instead of threes, that would be huge.
Is this the Tim Kelly game? Like, is this the game? Like, against the Saints, he even said, you know, there was left a lot left to be desired. He even said maybe, you know, the running back distribution was a little bit too more one way than we wanted to see it. Against the Chargers, I think he called a great game. You know, I liked the balance between the running backs. I liked the big explosive plays. And, of course, part of that is on the execution of the quarterback as well. But is this the game that we, you know, against a tough defense, is this the game where we see, you know, is Tim Kelly more Arthur Smith or more Todd Downing?
Well, I think it comes down to the Jimmys and the Joes. I mean, the plays that are going to be called is not going to be anything that they have not shown already.
If it's the Jimmys and the Joes, I think Tennessee loses.
Not necessarily.
I think the Browns have better players.
Not necessarily. It's, you know, just like the first game. I know people go back to, you know, well, the distribution of the running backs and Derrick Henry didn't. That's why they lost. No, that's not why they lost. How many times am I going to tell you this? That's not why they lost the game. They lost the game because they didn't capitalize on the five blatant open opportunities that they had as a offense. They missed on all of them. They didn't hit one or two.
Yeah.
They had five and was OFA on all of them. Fast forward the next following week. They had two or three opportunities to make big plays. What'd they do?
They hit them.
They hit him. Derrick Henry could have got the ball 50% of the time. They hit those three plays, they still win the game. What if they lose the game, they still hit those three plays, Derrick Henry still get the ball 75% of the time? What's the problem now? I'm asking our audience.
You're just,
like, what's the problem
you're
now?
You're just not as good of a football team.
Exactly. My thing is,
plays are there in both
exactly.
games.
Yeah, exactly. The plays were there in both games. The plays are going to be there this game. Tim Kelly has called two good games. The only difference was one game your quarterback didn't capitalize. One game he did. This third game, I expect Tim Kelly to call another good game. But it's all predicated on the Jimmys and the Joes. I can call up the plays. If you don't execute them, they're not going to work. And everybody's going to blame me. You execute them like you did last week. Everybody praises Tim Kelly and said, look, he's great because he gave Derrick Henry the ball more. No, it wasn't because he gave Derrick Henry the ball more. It was because they capitalized on the big plays.
Of course, it's about execution, but play action, week two versus week one.
It was the same thing.
They utilized it a lot more in week two.
It was the same thing. People, look at this is why I have a hard time. Sometimes I don't even – it's sometimes me saying things, it's just like I'm not going to even say it no more because – when you look at both games, each game there's 3 to 4 opportunities to make big plays. 3 or 4 of them every game. Some teams may have a lot more, Miami, but everybody's not Miami. But there's 3 or 4 plays in a game that are there to be made. Either you make them or you don't. That's the difference. Well, turnover. If you don't say if everything was even, no turnovers in a game. There are 3 or 4 plays that need to be made in a game. If you don't make them, that dictates whether you win that game or you lose that game. That's basic. They didn't make the plays the first game. They lost. If they make those plays, I don't know why people don't understand that. If they make those plays, they win the game.
And that's, that's
point blank. But they made the plays the second game.
I think that – I agree with that 100%. I like what Tim Kelly is trying to do with the offense. I like that he's trying to evolve it. He's trying to take it to another level. He was tasked with it. And the old standby of Derek, 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 play action, play action. It got him 17.5 points last year. They weren't good enough. He's trying to add a layer to it. It wasn't perfect in week one, but I could see what he
was trying to do. You could see what he was thinking.
And I agree with you 100%. They had opportunities. If they had hit 1 or 2, I think the narrative would have been much different after the first one. Now, I'll say this. This is my disclaimer. Mm-hmm. When you ask, is this the Tim Kelly game? I'm not sure either offensive coordinator is going to look good after this game. With this,
may not.
These defenses, I would hesitate. I don't think this is going to be a Picasso on Sunday at all.
Well, I think it's going to be low scoring.
So I think we got to set your bar accordingly. This is a team that's given up 14 first downs in 2 games, the Cleveland defense. You could look bad against this defense, especially he has been dealt a tough situation in the offensive line. Skoronski missing a second straight game. Now this week, at least they've had a week long really to prepare for not having Skoronski. I think that kind of caught him off guard last week. It was late in the week.
Yeah,
they expected to have Skoronski.
You don't
and all
plan
of a sudden
for an appendicitis.
There.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey,
dropped out of nowhere.
I'm having appendicitis the day before the game.
So prepare. I'm gonna have the flu next week. Just
you guys
a quick heads
for
up.
Me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with Pittsburgh last week. Pittsburgh, that was a closely contested game. Even with those 2 turnovers. If Pittsburgh doesn't get that big play with Pickens, they don't win the game. They got 14 points off of turnovers. If Pickens doesn't make that big play and score a touchdown, they don't win that game.
Yes, and you need to make those explosive plays because you can call the greatest game in the world, and if you have a bunch of just, whoever's out there and you can't execute it, then it doesn't matter if you're the greatest play caller in the history of all time. You need players to execute those plays. But when I say, is this the Tim Kelly game, I mean that – I don't expect this offense to put up 600 yards. Like, I don't expect it to be pretty. I don't expect it to be, a Kansas City Chiefs, Los Angeles Chargers kind of game. But I mean is, can you just get points? Like, can you move the ball on this defense? What can Tim Kelly do creatively to move the football and get into the end zone? Because I think that's just going to be the key. Can you put up points? Can you get past this defense? Because really, I mean, a touchdown and a field goal could win it. I mean, maybe. Who knows with these 2 defenses?
But I think what you're saying, opportunistic, I think is a key word this week.
Did you have a thought?
No,
that we can get to coming up next?
No.
All right, then we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Hey, normally our friend Eddie George joins us, who is presented by Calabria Pizza. Come try their pizza in Goodlettsville and Mount Juliet, because life is just too short to eat bad pizza. And you can tune into 102.5 and 106.3 of the game tomorrow for Vanderbilt football. I will be there. I'm excited for it. The Commodores will kick off at 11 a.m. at home against Kentucky, with pregame beginning at 9:30 a.m. You can hear all the coverage on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live out here at Ford Eye Center in Bellevue for day 2 of Predators training camp. And our live coverage from Preds training camp on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, is presented by the new Cumberland Development. Titans take on the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, hitting the road for Cleveland. We're breaking down, the question that I asked is, could this be the Tim Kelly game? We saw a not very good offense against the Saints. We saw good offense against the Chargers. Didn't turn the football over. You got a nice balance, a 1-2 punch between Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears. You had those big chunk X plays, as Vrabel calls them. The big 70-yarder to Treylon Burks. You had the 50-yard pass to Chris Moore. So could this be the Tim Kelly game? And when I ask that, I mean that by saying, look, the Browns have a really good defense. It's not going to be easy to do anything offensively against not just the defensive front, but also the Browns secondary. But D-Mace, before the break, you had a thought on that.
Yeah, because to me, Tim Kelly, if and listen, he may say different because obviously he knows, you know, what he wants to call, how he wants it ran and whatnot. I'm just someone from the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. I think he did a good job both games at calling plays because to me, both games, you had opportunities, more than one or two opportunities to make big plays. Again, one game they did, one game they didn't. So Tim Kelly's play calling, because of his play calling, it allowed that to happen. We didn't see this many wide open guys running around under the last coordinator. We just didn't, especially not early on. So to me, Tim Kelly has called two good games. It was all about executing that game plan. I think he's going to call a good game again. That's why I go back to the Jimmys and the Joes. These offensive coordinators, there are some brilliant ones out there, but I had an offensive coordinator tell me one day, he said, listen, I can draw up the plays. The plays are there to be drawn up. Mm-hmm. It's all about executing the plays. If we execute the plays, I look brilliant. If we don't execute the plays, they're going to want to replace me.
Yeah, like how many offensive coordinators and head coaches have we seen get either promotions or better jobs
exactly.
because they just had good players?
Exactly. So that's basically – now, listen, I can put together – if I'm an offensive coordinator worth any salt, I can put together a good game plan for that upcoming week. And the Titans, they have that with the coaches that they have in that building. It's about now – now that we have the game plan together, one, how do I call it and how do you execute it? Those are the two things that we need to worry about. How and when I call these plays and how you execute them. Yeah. Because I can call a perfect play for the perfect for that defense. If you don't hit that back coming out the backfield on the wheel route, it's not my fault. Well, yeah, you just didn't execute
it. The overthrow to Chig was one example of that. The flea flicker, I thought that was a fantastic
right call, right time.
That wasn't executed.
You just didn't execute it. We call it a long foul ball in football. Yeah, it's open.
Same thing with Spears. It's a little bit later in the game. Same exact thing.
So, to me, it boils down to the Jimmys and the Joes. I think the times you got enough Jimmys and Joes, man, they may have all Jimmys. They don't have the Joes, too. But they got enough Jimmys that Mike, Tim Kelly, if he calls – how he's been calling the previous two games, they'll be all right offensively.
And look, it's not a loaded offense, especially with the offensive line. So they're going to have to overachieve a little bit.
Exactly.
I don't know that they have a guy that could take a bad play, like a Barry Sanders. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, this is a disaster. But he makes an unbelievable individual effort and he runs for 50 yards. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's going to happen very often with this group. But I would add one other thing. You tell me if you agree with this, but this is just my understanding of sports. But like, does everybody understand what they want to do? Like this is where identity comes in a lot. Like, what do they want to do? Does everybody understand what we're trying to do on these plays?
And you're right.
A buy-in from everybody. I think that's important too. Like, do we believe in this offense? That's where a coordinator, I think, can make some hay too. Right, if people are coming to the office every day going, man, our offense, man, it's been shaky. I don't know, man. It hasn't gone very well the last couple weeks. What are we going to do? Can we really do anything against this defense? If you're coming in with that attitude, that offensive coordinator is in trouble. I do think that happened with Downing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there was a true buy-in belief after a while.
Yeah.
So you got to instill some confidence in your guys that say, you know, where a guy says, okay, maybe my number's not called that much this week. But next week, I'm going to get my catches. Like, over the time, I'm going to get it because I believe in this offense. That's what you're looking for.
We've seen it preached time and time again. We've seen it, you know, we've heard it from Vrabel. Just do your job. Just do your job because doing your job, if you know the whole concept and why we're running this play, then you understand that I got to do my job. If I do my job and understand that, like this past week, Monday night with I think it was Monday night when no, it wasn't Monday night, Sunday night when Cleveland played Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. If that guy on the first play of the game, if that guy goes outside release and runs a nine route, that ball gets tipped and it goes on the ground. Instead of you stopping at five, that guy, the ball gets tipped now, and the defensive back is just sitting there waiting on the ball. Mm-hmm. He didn't know that the ball was going to be tipped, but because you ran the wrong route, because you didn't understand the concept of the play, you didn't know why you were doing your job and why your job was so important to take an outside release and go. Now he's just standing there. And it's a freebie for him.
And you could completely change the outcome of the game exactly. with that one throw, that one play.
Absolutely. So you're right, Willie. It's about why do we run this play? Yes, you know what to do.
Yeah.
But do you know why we run it? Why we're asking you if it's cover two or two man to take an outside release? Because mm-hmm. if you don't take an outside release, I'm running that quick out. Now the defensive back has eyes on both of us. And if that pass is tipped or anything else, now he's in a perfect position to get a turnover.
I think almost as important as what they're going to do is what they shouldn't do. And that's overcompensate. Mm-hmm. Because I think we can all sit here and say that this Titans offense is not better than the Cleveland defense. Like the Cleveland defense is legit. Mm-hmm. Titans offense is shaky. You don't need to overcompensate. Don't get cute with it. I think so many times last year what made me frustrated with Todd Downing was when everyone was calling for creativity. And then Todd Downing would come out with another shotgun play with Derrick Henry or, you know, the Malik Willis gadget play. Is like, no. Don't get cute. That's not what we mean by creative. We don't need to get creative like that. Don't get cute.
We want
with
creative
it.
Stuff that works.
We want.
I love that is an easy second guess by a fan, though. We want creativity. Here's a razzle-dazzle play, fumble. Wait a minute. That's not what I
meant. That was too creative.
But there's a difference between razzle-dazzle and stupid. And that was stupid. And creativity meaning, hey, maybe you have two running backs on the field at the same time. I don't know. Crazy idea. But
I'm seeing some of that. I'm seeing Sharp. I'm seeing yes. Spears and Sharp isn't
Henry,
on the field.
Yeah.
Spears and Henry on the field at the same time. I like that.
And I do like that. And that's what I like in the creativity and the differences in this offense is you don't need to go for it on 4th and 17 at your own 15. We don't need to be doing that. And that's an exaggerated example.
Yeah, if you go for it at 4th and 17 at your own 15, we need to check.
Right.
That's Woody ball.
Unless it's like you got to score and you got to do it. But
that's
other
the
than
Lane
that,
Kiffin
yeah.
mentality.
Man.
But obviously a very exaggerated yes. example, but don't get cute with it. Don't feel like you need to all of a sudden, you know, go outside of the realm of your identity because you're going up against this defensive front. You play to your identity. And if at the end of the day that's not good enough, then that's not good enough.
Just identify your playmakers. Mm-hmm. Put them in a position, in a good position to make plays. And then it's up to them. And I think Tim Kelly the last 2 weeks has done just that. He's identified his playmakers, and he put them in positions to make plays. One game they didn't make the play, one game they did. That's the difference between being 2-0 and 1-1.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's take it to the bank coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays were brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Here comes the money.
And you can take that to the bank.
Here comes the money.
It is now time to take it to the bank with F&M Bank. F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. Hey, business is complicated. Banking doesn't have to be. F&M Bank. So visit one of their 20 locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. Nick, how did we do last week? I know I did not
moving
take...
Moving on. We're moving on. I'm doing the Kelly Holcomb. We got to move on. Move on.
I put all of my faith into the Vols defense. Uh-huh. And you know what? That's the last freaking time I do that. I learned my lesson. How did we do last week, Nick?
Well, you'll be a little upset about the Vols. They had one sack, and they said over 2.5. You're going to be upset with this
stat. I said over 2.5.
You ready for this?
Well, I thought the Vols were better than Florida.
Seven tackles for losses for the Vols on defense last weekend. So, close but no cigar there. D-Mace had Joe Milton to get two touchdowns, over 250 yards passing, and 60% passing rating. D-Mace, I have to tell you, he had 59, and I rounded up generously. Willie.
What?
Yes.
What kind of math is that?
Well, it came out to 58.882, and that rounds up to 59, and he needed 60. So I don't want to be a stickler about it.
But you said you're giving it to him or you're not giving it to him?
I don't know. This could be up for debate on the panel.
He didn't get it. He didn't get it.
59's 59.
Not 60.
Yeah.
Okay,
come on, 59 is 60.
You can't get that.
My dad used to say, he used to say, what time is it? I say 5:45. I said, nah, 6 o'clock.
When you turn 59 years old, are you going to say that you're 60?
No.
Starts going the other way.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm practically 50. Yeah.
So the rest of it, Willie had Derrick Henry 100 yards from scrimmage this past Sunday. I believe that did happen.
And how many did he have?
He had 86 rushing. And the passing, I believe he had, 15, correct? 12? Somewhere around that number?
No,
he didn't have any, did he?
He only had 9.
He had 9?
Yeah, he had 9.
But yeah, that rounds up to 100.
Yeah, for sure.
That rounds up to 100.
It rounds up to 90.
I was trying to be a little generous there. I mean, we're trying to be generous with D-May, so I'd be a little generous with Willie.
Nick is too nice for this job. I think he's just too nice.
I can't help it.
I would love to have you as a teacher.
Hey, trust me. Those teachers, man, my mom cut hair for a living, so I never got to get around that easy with these teachers around. For me, 300 yards passing for Will Rogers, 3 touchdowns, and Mississippi State to win. Yeah, that was far from hitting. That was terrible.
You would have been right if you said that about Jaden Daniels and LSU.
That is correct.
So that counts for something.
That is correct.
It did happen to one quarterback.
Yeah. It did.
Just to the wrong one.
Yeah. I am wearing purple today, Carolina. If you don't believe me, I'll wear it Monday, but I am wearing some purple today. It is not the best.
Thank you, Nick.
Feels kind of sour.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. There was a very sympathetic but cutting text from Caroline to Nick on the group text when LSU opened up about a 34-0 lead.
Yeah.
I said, it's all about the memories that we make along the way.
Yeah, I was like, Caroline's digging the knife in a little bit deeper there.
As I was sadly eating some Taco Bell and Chipotle, all the above. Let's see here. Caroline, since you did as bad as me, and ladies always go first, go ahead.
Thank you. All right, I've been doing some college picks, so I'm going to switch to the NFL, and I will stick with the Titans. I think that the Browns get at least 3 sacks, but Titans for the win.
Okay.
I think 3 sacks is...
Am I lowballing?
Well, it all depends on how you design your offense. If you get the ball out quick, you could have a lot of pressure and only have 3 sacks. So I think it's always tough. So 3, that's good. That's
a
good number.
3 and a Titans win.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to go college here. I'm going to say that Jaden Milroe will have a bounce back game, even though he didn't play last game. I know he didn't, but he has a bounce back game. He has a total of 3 touchdowns.
Ooh.
Passing or running?
Just a total of 3 touchdowns. Okay. It could be 2 passing, 1 running, 2 running, 1 pass. He will have a total of 3 touchdowns, and Alabama will win by more than 7 points.
I like that. I'm picking Alabama by 10.
Alabama wins by more than 7 points. So 3 touchdowns, any kind touchdowns, and they win by more than 7 points.
Okay. I'm going to say Tajay Spears – over 10.5 touches.
Okay.
Over 10.5 touches. I think he's going to get the ball even more this week. He's going to be a big factor this week. And I will also say, either Burks or Chig will have a touchdown. Give me Burks and Chig combined. One of them will have a touchdown.
Can I throw another one in there?
Sure. Why not? This is we're making up these rules as we go along. We're rounding up numbers. What are we doing? Our commissioner doesn't care. He's gonna give you credit no matter what.
Hey, aren't you supposed to give
Willie?
You're supposed to be giving him tips, commish.
Yeah, Willie, the other commissioner. Now exactly. He runs a tight.
I'm trying to run a tight ship. I got to teach Nick.
There is no bend in the rules in Silly Underdog.
Trying to learn.
We have no rules in this game.
I say D Hop gets his first touchdown.
Ooh, D-Hop.
He gets his first touchdown.
D-Hop will get the first touchdown. I went down in flames.
Yeah, his first touchdown.
I went down in flames with that one in week one.
Yeah,
so
you
did
big time.
I got the scars to show for it.
Yeah. He did have a lot of catches, though.
13 passes thrown to him.
Had a lot of targets.
He had a lot of targets, yes.
All right, Nick, what are you taking to the bank this week?
I am going with Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes this weekend. I'm taking them to win.
Ooh.
I'm going with Shedeur Sanders.
To win?
Ooh. To win, yes, to win. This is a game.
Must be the money.
It's kind of, I want to say it's a little bit of a trap game. I know everybody's going to be thinking, oh, all the money's on Colorado to win. They're at home. Oh, no, away. Next week they're at home. Like, if they were to split either this week, like lose this week and win next week against USC because they're at home, like, I still think the rest of their season, there's a lot of up and up. I think they could have a one-loss season and possibly still make some sort of college football playoff run. I really have that much faith in the Colorado Buffaloes.
Playoff run.
Whoa,
yes.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa, Nick.
I'm really.
Wowza.
Nick. I'm drinking
he
the
believes.
Colorado juice.
He believes.
Yeah.
He's put a little extra buffalo sauce on this thing.
I did.
Man,
it's a little bit of a spicy
a
pig.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go Buffaloes to win on the road against Oregon and Shedeur Sanders 3 total touchdowns. I really do think he's going to run one in about 10, 15 yards out to the right side of the end zone. I'm just putting that out there. And then 2 passing touchdowns, 1 in each half,
specific.
I believe. Yeah. I'm going to go out there.
Man, you're being detailed.
You got to send the video out. If he
Did
runs
you have
one
a dream
right
about
side.
All this?
I mean.
That this was going to happen? I need to know.
Hey, Derek, I have a story for another time.
Exactly. That he's got the vision, yeah.
I have a story for another time.
Nick, I will hedge your bet.
You will. All right.
I will hedge your bet. Give me Bo Nix, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Because there's one thing about Bo Nix. He's going to throw some picks.
Yeah.
But he is going to throw some touchdown passes. So this is rivalry week 2 between myself and Nick Frazier after Mississippi State and LSU last weekend. Quickly, Titans predictions for Sunday against the Browns.
Oh, man. I think it's going to be a closely contested game. I don't see how, man, Browns, I don't know how they win this game unless Deshaun Watson has one of his Houston games. I picked the Titans winning this 17-13.
I did this. I don't know if we actually officially made picks in week one, but I said I love the points in week one. This is the 3rd straight week that the Titans are an underdog, around the same amount of points.
3.5.
I love Mike Vrabel as getting points. I think this is going to be a field goal game. So I'll take the Titans and the points, but I think this is one where, once again, I'm going to rely on the Mike Vrabel teams knowing how to win the close games. Mm-hmm. I see a Cleveland team that's still discombobulated a little bit, and I think that works to the Titans' advantage. So I think Titans 16-13 is what I would say.
I was going to take the Titans 17-10. I think that one score, whether it's a touchdown, field goal, whatever it is, will come off of a turnover. But look at us. Bunch of Titans bobos.
There we
picking
go.
Picking the two-toe blue on Sunday.
Game.
We will have a full game recap on Monday at 11 a.m. Stillman and Company is up next.
Be love and love on your people. Have a wonderful weekend. Peace.